I was taken into the heavenlies. And as I was praying and just worshiping God, I saw an angel. I'm sure it was in my dream. This angel stood above me and said that you are covered. And immediately, as we were singing that song, it just reminded me, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength.
Enemy. and the demons are silenced because of the blood of Jesus. 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 Somebody say the blood of Jesus. The blood of, come on, say the blood of Jesus. Yeah, the blood of Jesus in your situation. The blood of Jesus over your body, over your mind. Thank you, Lord. Lord, even at the beginning of this sermon right now, I apply your blood, the blood of Jesus upon our hearts, the blood of Jesus upon our bodies. Lord, I ask you, do the miraculous. Lord, move by your spirit. Move, Lord, and let your blood flow and touch somebody. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. We give you praise. We glorify you. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you just love to worship Jesus? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Strongholds
in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 is what I'm going to be focusing on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." There it is. You have the imaginations in the mind. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So the subject of strongholds is very, very vast, and I don't even believe that two preaching sessions we will give justice to that. And so, you know, what I've been doing is we've been having in our Bible Academy on Tuesdays, the last Tuesday, the guys who were there, I'm sure you enjoyed it, as we looked at part one of strongholds. This Tuesday coming, we're looking at part two. I've got to tell you that I was getting very excited. I was getting very excited just teaching that. It was very, very interesting, and the group were very interactive. I want to invite you, if you can, come on Tuesday at 7:45 would be great. And we may even take it into a third week, depending on how it goes. You see, sometimes when we're in these sessions, people are asking so many questions and making so many comments that sometimes it can be difficult to cover everything. So we may go into a third week. Isn't that the case, Isaac? Amen. So we get it to understand strongholds. And, you know, I tried to explain this last week, but if you take for a... Anybody know ISIS? We all know ISIS, right? Okay. ISIS will, for example, capture an area. That area becomes a stronghold for them. And what they do, they will, from that base, they will go around and they capture other areas until they have the whole area or a country under their control. Take London, for example. London is a capital. It's a very big place. And so the enemy will capture London, and from London, London becomes a stronghold, and from London, all the strategies, all the planning, everything works out of London. London is now a stronghold. They may even decide to change the language and make some big plans from London. It's a stronghold. And what they will do, the enemy will move to other areas of the country, say Birmingham. Birmingham becomes a stronghold. Manchester. Manchester becomes a stronghold. Leeds. Leeds becomes a stronghold. Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton becomes a stronghold. And so the enemy moves out to cities and towns, and the enemy takes control of an area until the whole country is now under the control of the enemy. Does everybody get that? That's how a stronghold works. And that's how it works in the natural realm. But it also works the same in the realm of the spirit. You see, everything that God does, you will find that the enemy will try to copy. I don't know if you understand that. I remember years ago when my mother, a young lady, came into the church, and my mother got up and was speaking in tongues. In the church in Wolverhampton, there was a young lady that was sitting behind her. She got up and she began to speak in a tongue as well. But we felt, you know, when you're in the spirit, you know that something isn't right. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah. And so she began to speak in this tongue. And everybody sort of turned around and thought to themselves, "I wonder what's going here." What the enemy was doing, the demons within her were copying what my mother was doing. But we know that was a false tongue. And here it is again, the strength in the blood. My mother just turned around and said, the blood of Jesus. And the demons began to come out of her. And so the enemy moves into your life through an open door. For example, he may take control of the area where you're struggling with drugs, for example. You might be struggling with pornography, for example. Those things become a stronghold in your life. And from that, you move to some other abusive substance. And it doesn't have to be that. But the enemy can take control of your finance. He can take control of your relationship, your home, your sons, your daughters. He can take control of things pertaining to you. He gets hold of whatever is yours, and he is not going to let go. A couple of weeks ago, I was called to a home to pray for a family because they were experiencing things moving around in their home. One of the sons had been involved he was living with a woman who was involved in the occult, and they're getting all this dark stuff that is happening in their home, and they're praying for the son, and they're thinking, you know what? What's going on here? And so they called me. I went to the home on the Wednesday, and with the mother, I was praying. I went around every room. I bind every demon. I came against the spirit of witchcraft and all the occultic stuff that was happening. She was praying for years for God to break up this relationship. When we came together, we began to war in the heavens. We began to pray. On the Friday morning, she rang me and she said, Pastor Brian, can you guess what happened? I knew what happened because I know there is power in prayer. Your prayer is a powerful weapon. I wish the church could stand up and realize what is in you. There is power in your mouth. I've seen it with my own eyes. She rang me the Friday morning and she says, the moment we prayed on the Wednesday, the woman, I don't know if something touched her. I guess it did. The woman packed her bag, packed her stuff, and she left the home. That is the power of prayer. I want to tell you something, that our God is at work. If the church could stand up, stop playing games, and realize the weapon of mass destruction that they carry, this place, this community, your home would be a different place. And so the enemy, he takes control of an area. Oh, saints, there is power in prayer. Social media is another one. Did somebody say social media? And they say that it's the young people that's affected. But I'm going to tell you that it's affecting everybody. I've known people. Trying to have a conversation with them is almost impossible because they're hooked on social media. I want to tell you that social media can become a stronghold in your life. Some people don't eat for days because of social media. Won't sleep because of social media. Is anybody hearing me? Yeah. A very good friend of ours, actually was a relative, the son, he spent so much time, one of these, I think it was a Game Boy or something like that, he was completely fixed on it. Every moment he had, he was on it. This young man, I've got to tell you, was possessed by demons because of what he was watching. He began to behave like the stuff he was watching. I thank God for his mother, who was a woman of prayer. That moment when she realized, when he began to reply to her in a deep voice that was not hers, she cast the demon out of him. I want to tell you something. you free apart from the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And even at the mention of the name of Jesus, there is power to release any person who is in captivity. I don't care what your situation is this morning. I have come to tell you that there is power in the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus to release you from captivity, from strongholds in your life. I don't care. You can give me the most difficult situation. I tell you something, that the blood of Jesus will break it and set you free. Yeah. I'm passionate about this because I have seen it for too long. Too long. The church has been held in captivity. People committed suicide in the church. It is happening. That's because of a stronghold. Their minds have been taken over by the enemy. But I have come today to say to somebody that the blood of Jesus will release every depression. Yeah, I see it now. Even over this gathering, there is heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. When we're talking about the spirit of heaviness, it's a demonic spirit. Because it's not the spirit of God. And right now, as God is leading me, I declare in the name of Jesus, every spirit of heaviness, spirit of heaviness in this place, I command you to go. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey! Mashukuru. Yitarababa. I am seeing it now. Look, this is how God is leading me. There's some spirits of heaviness in this place. I'm coming against you right now in the name of Jesus. You leave, you leave, you leave, you leave God's people. I command you. All you need is a word from God. And I command you now, get out of this building. Get out of people's lives. I've come today because I'm warring against you, spirit. In the name of Jesus, loose God's people and let them go. So, who is this strong man? We need to identify who the strong man is. Last week when I spoke, Pastor Tony said to me, "Oh, Pastor Brian, you forgot to mention the strong man." I didn't forget. I remembered him very well. And today, we're going to talk about him. Right now, the strong man, even over this gathering, is trembling. I see him. Sent here to bring division. Sent here to bring disruption. I'm coming against you, strong man, in the name of Jesus. You're leaving this place today. So the strong man is in control of a stronghold. He is a strong man. He's not a man, but he's a very strong demon who is at the top of his game. He's top dog. He's in control over an area, and then he has lesser demons under him. Can you see that now? They have ranks. I don't know if you know this, but in the demonic realm, they have ranks. So you have the strong man, and then you have some lesser demons under him. And the kingdom of God operates in a similar way. Everything that Satan learned, you would think to yourself, oh, he's very good the way he organizes himself. But I want to tell you, everything that he learned, everything that he does, he took it from God. I don't know if you realize this. And that's why he has ranks. Because God has ranks as well. The angels are ranked. I don't know if you realize that. The angels are ranked. So when in Daniel 10, when this angel, this ordinary angel, is struggling, what does he do? He calls Prince Michael. Prince Michael, very strong angel. He's an archangel. Anything God wants done, important. He wants an important message, somebody to hear it. What he does, he sends Michael. Michael's a very strong angel. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 30, it says that, it says that Michael is one of the chief princes. Can you see that now? So the angels have ranks. Demons have ranks also. You see, it's interesting when we begin to read the word and get into the word. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've got to be excited about this because when I, has anybody ever read the story, Daniel 10? When you read that story, you think to yourself, it is only the prince of Persia that this angel is fighting with. But the Bible tells me in Daniel 10, 13, that Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For, this angel is saying to Daniel, he says, for I have been left alone with the kings of Persia. Is somebody getting this now? So, as the prince of Persia, you think to yourself, it's going to be underneath the kings of Persia. But the prince of Persia was top dog, and then you had the kings of Persia underneath him. So the angel, this particular angel, was at war, because there were more than one people fighting against him until he called in reinforcement. The angel said to Daniel, he said, now I have to go back and I'm going to fight against those demons. And he says, when I finish that, I'm then going to have to go and fight against the prince of Greece. The prince of Greece was a strong man that stood against Israel for Greece. So there's lots of fighting going on. This might be a big thing for some of us, but come Tuesday, let me take you through it. So there's lots of fighting going on, right? In the realms of the heavenlies, there's a war going on even at this moment. There's a war going on for your souls. There's a war going on for the souls of your children. There's a war going on for your community. There is an invisible battle raging right now, and it's made manifest in the lives of many people, even people in the church, I'm going to tell you. But Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, it tells us that Daniel fasted and he prayed for 21 days. I'm going to tell you, there is power again, Sister Debbie, in prayer and fasting. He prayed for 21 days concerning Israel in Daniel chapter 9. He says, Lord, these are your people. You've got to do something about this situation. I don't know if anyone has ever been in a situation where you prayed like that. Say, God, you've got to do something about this. He prayed in chapter 9. In chapter 10, the Bible says that God sent the answer straight away. Soon as he prayed, God released it. And the angel is running with it to give Daniel the answer. God says yes. This is how it works. And then the Bible says in the heavenlies. That's something else I'm going to talk about some other time. But in the realm of the heavenlies, he's obstructed by the prince of Persia. You're not going anywhere because I'm going to obstruct you. More than that, angel, I'm going to call reinforcement. I'm going to call upon the kings of Persia because you're not leaving here with an answer. I'm going to tell some of you that you are praying, but I want to say to you, do not give up on your prayer. Don't give up on your prayer. Because it will surely come to pass as you pray. I'm going to tell you, but I want you to be aware, because in the heavenlies, there are demonic oppositions against your prayers. There is something that the enemy is going to do to hinder your prayer. But I'm going to tell you something, that as you keep praying and as you keep fasting, God will answer your prayer. I saw. There are reinforcements. Angels being sent. Archangels being sent. Some of you have been praying for 2 weeks and 3 weeks, and you're saying, God, I cannot see the answer. But I tell you, hold on, because I see. Probably this is what I saw, that God released the archangel Michael, and he says, send the answer to my sister. You're definitely going to get it. But I wonder, I begin to think about this, and I wonder if there is some correlation between Daniel fasting for 21 days, fasting and praying for 21 days, and being held up in the heavenlies for 21 days. Perhaps somebody could help me at some point in that, but we won't go into that now. For 3 weeks, the answer did not go anywhere. For 3 weeks, even though God had answered it straight away. Habakkuk 2:3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. That is a word for somebody here today. That is a word for, yeah, I see. It's a word for somebody here today. Though it lingers, wait for it. Do not give up. Wait for it, because it will certainly come. I heard somebody say, surely. Sure, I like surely. It will surely come. Where did the fight take place? The fight took place in the realms of the heavenlies. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says in verse 12, he says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's where it takes place. Invisible persons warring in invisible kingdoms. I've said to myself, if God could open my eyes so that I could see into the realm of the spirit and see what has been sent against me, I might be afraid. Because there is a war that is going on in the realm of the heavenlies, in the invisible kingdoms. There is a war that is taking place right now. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan are both invisible kingdoms. You can't see them, but you know that they're there. Does that make sense? You cannot see them, but you know that they're there. You walk into your room and you feel something dark. You cannot see it, but you can feel it. You know something is there. Things are moving around. Things are not going right. Something should be happening that is good here. And you know that the kingdom of darkness, this invisible kingdom, is at work. But the one way you'll be able to testify that they are there is when they begin to manifest. When the kingdom of the devil manifests, you will see all kinds of evil, weird, dark, demonic manifestations, murders and depressions and all kinds of evil, strange happenings around you. Let me say to you, there's a war going on. But you know the kingdom of God exists. Amen. Amen. The kingdom of God exists when you see dead people being raised. When you hear testimonies like Priscilla spoke about this morning, you know the kingdom of God is alive and happening. People are being healed. People are being delivered. People are being set free. Miraculous works happening. Then you know that the kingdom of God is come. And this is why Jesus says, this is very important. He says, when you pray, pray this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You want to see something change? ask God to demonstrate his kingdom in your life. Change the way you pray. Ask God to move miraculously and let his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is how the church needs to be praying. We know the kingdom of God exists. And if the kingdom of God exists, then the kingdom of the devil exists also. If the kingdom of light exists, then the kingdom of darkness must exist. If they exist, then night must exist. Now, why we are significant as Christians is this. God has given us, and us alone, the weapons of mass destruction. They are spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual war. Is anybody going to war? God has given us spiritual weapons. The government will use tanks and so physical weapons to fight. But God has given the church powerful weapons to defeat the enemy. Powerful weapons to defeat the enemy. Perhaps if the enemy is not defeated, it's because the church is not using their powerful weapons. But if you are using your powerful weapons, there is nothing that can stop the enemy being defeated. There is prayer. There is praise. There is the word of God. There is thanksgiving. Ha! Pull them out. Pull them out. They are no good in your pocket. God has given the church. He's armed the church with power. So today, the church should be victorious. Should be victorious. People are coming to me and they say, Pastor Brian, we are held down with this demonic oppression. But I say to them, sister, brother, when was the last time you pulled your sword and struck that enemy? We're involved in this war. And that's not an option. The only decision you can make is whether you're part of the kingdom of God or you're not. And if you're part of the kingdom of God, you are at war with the kingdom of Satan. And that's not something you can decide. You just better get equipped in these last days and learn how to fight. I think I might have a school one night a week to learn how to use the sword. One night to learn how to use the weapon of praise. Another night to learn how to use the weapon of thanksgiving. I want to tell you, saints, that all these weapons are effective. Effective. They are effective. And we need them in these end times. The devil shall not have dominion over the church of Jesus Christ. We need to use our weapons that God has made available for us to defeat the strong man. The strong man will be defeated. You hear it from me today, strong men that have been sent into the lives of God's people. Sent over Ilford. Sent over Redbridge. I tell you today, your days are numbered. Jesus says this. Here is the word of God again. Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Understand who you are. Know what you carry. Power, authority, as children of God, you can bind whatever comes against you, because once you bind it, it will be bound in heaven. You loose it on earth, and it will be loose. I come today by the power of God's Spirit to loose strongholds in this gathering. God said, Brian, as you loose them here in Isaac Newton Academy, I have done it in heaven. Somebody give God a clap of praise. Come on. Jesus says, you bind it on earth, and when you look around, it will be bound in heaven. In a way, we are not waiting for God. God is waiting on us. God is waiting on us. He's given us the authority to do it. Mark 3:27. No one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Jesus refers to Satan here as the strong man, and to himself as the one who enters the house and plunders the place. Before Satan allows his dominion to be plundered, he must be tied up. He must be tied up. I want to tell you this. I've seen his house. What the strong man has in his house are those things that he has stolen from you over those years. This is what he does. The Bible says all that he comes to do, the enemy, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he does. And he's robbed you of your possessions, and his house is filled with everything that he has taken from you. But I have come today to say, no more. No more. We are going in. Is anybody coming with me? We are going in. I am going in. If you want to come with me, you can. But I am going in because I know what I carry. And I'm going to tie up the strong man. Really, really tight. And I'm going to take back what he has robbed us of. I know there are some things of mine in his house. And today I'm saying, strong man, watch out. Your door is about to be opened. Because I'm coming in, I'm coming in, I'm coming in. I'm tying you up. And I'm going to be releasing some of God's plunder. Releasing it. We are at war, saints. I'm going to tell you. I'm really passionate about this. We are at war. You can lay down if you want to and let the enemy run over you. But today, I'm going to tell you, I can see right now, he's getting afraid because I am going in. I'm going in. I'm going in. Is anybody coming with me? We're going in and we're going to plunder the strong man. I'm going to say, strong man, give me back my mind. Give me back my body. Give me back my wife. Give me back my husband. Give me back my life. Give me back. You take it from him. Some of us are praying and say, God, come, please do this for me. And God is saying, I have given you the authority. I've given you the power. Now you go. I want to come to an end. But I just want to just a few more points here. Ephesians 6:17 says we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When the enemy was defeated, Jesus defeated him with the word. It is written. Jesus defeated him with the word. I told you this story before. When I was younger, at the age of 9, I had my first new King James Bible. I didn't understand it, but I read it. And you know what happened? The word of God was resident. It stayed there for years. I didn't understand what I was reading, but what was happening was God was filling me with himself. Now there come times, years later, when I'm faced with situation, for some reason, the word comes out and the enemy is defeated. Saints, get into the word. The word of God is your powerful weapon. It's a weapon of mass destruction. The Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting marrow, bones. Prayer. I mentioned prayer last week. Thank God I saw a few more people at prayer on Friday. But let me tell you, a church that is not praying is a church that is dying. Because it means that the enemy has the advantage. He's gaining foothold. But once you know when a church begins to pray, the miraculous happens. God moves under your instructions. The Bible says, command ye me. We need to understand who we are. Princes, queens, kings, priests in the kingdom of God. And God says, yeah, command me. He means, hey, come on, tell me what I should do. Prayer and supplication in the spirit. I thank God for prayer. But you know, when I want to win the war, I move into tongues. I pray in the spirit. Because what the enemy does, he says to himself, what is he saying? I don't understand this. Because you see, if you're praying, you say, Lord, I want you to move here and move there and do this. He says, yeah, I understand. I'm gonna block it. But when I begin to pray in the spirit, Ruku, Rema, Tandarama, Sute, Kike, yeah. He doesn't understand what I'm saying. The Bible says that I speak in mysteries that only God will understand. And the enemy is confused. They fight among themselves because of the confusion. There's power when you begin to pray in the spirit. There are other prayers as well. There are other weapons as well. The weapons of thanksgiving. Did you know that? Thanksgiving. John chapter 6. Verse 11, it says that, and Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. Jesus did not pray. All he did was give thanks. There is power in your giving thanks. Power in your giving thanks. When he did that, the miraculous happens. 5,000 people are fed by a couple of fishes and a few loaves. And this is the one I love. There is power in your praise. That's why we start the service on a Sunday morning with praise to God. Because when we begin to praise, there's some strongholds that are torn down. And that's why I always encourage people to praise God. Psalm 8 verse 2 says, out of the mouths of babes and suckling has he appointed. I think the Authorized Version says, as he ordained praise that we may silence the enemy and the avenger. So through your praise, the mouth of the accuser is shut. Because you know what he's doing even now? He's going up to God, walking into God's presence, and he's saying, did you see what my brother did the other day? Did you see what my sister did? He is the accuser of the brethren. But God says, when you begin to praise me, I will shut his mouth. I will shut his mouth. Some of you are going to bed and you're hearing voices. Walking down the street, you're hearing voices. In your jobs, you're hearing voices. But God says, when you begin to praise me, that is your power. That is the power that locks the mouth of the enemy. Are there any praises in the house? Why don't you just praise God right now? Something's going to happen right now as you praise him. Come on, praise him. Across this place, come on, praise him. Musicians, please. Come on, praise him. Something's about to happen right now. The accuser of the brethren has been going around, even in this fellowship. But I've come to tell him today, your mouth be shut. It's going to be shut because God's people knows how to praise him. This is why I get excited, because I know I've seen it. You see, when we read in Acts 16 about the two apostles, they locked up in maximum jail, maximum prison at 12 o'clock, what do you think they did? They knew the secret of praise. They began to praise God. They began to praise God. They began to pray. They were using those two weapons. And you know what God did? He says, yeah, don't sit there. I'm just having a good time. Yeah, I'm sitting here. But I hear the praises of Paul and Silas. And he said, yes, I'm getting ready. And he moves into the jail. And the Bible said there was an earthquake. You see, when you begin to praise God, when you begin to worship him, the Bible tells you that even the earth will begin to tremble. Will be opened. Ha! Prison doors will be opened. Those that have been shut for many years. Chains upon God's people. God says, even as you praise him, he said, today, he's coming to loose you. He's coming to loose you. He's going to open prison doors. Some of you have been locked in for years. But God says, today, he has come. He has come as your deliverer to set you. must do this. I'm going in today. He said before, I'm going in. If there is something that you need to be released from, don't worry what it is. Whatever it is, God says today, the strong man is going to be tied up. You're going to see what is about to happen over your homes. There's going to be a release. Things that have been left and have been hindered for years is about to be released. Your minds are about to be released. Your bodies are about to be released. The strong man is about to be bound right now. If you need God to speak into your situation, I just want you to come. Today, I want you to come up. Because God is going to do it. Not me. God is going to do it.
Something is about to change. The strong man
is going. going to be bound right now, right now, right now. I want the rest of you, anointed people, to stretch your hands over these. Stretch your hands, please. The rest of you, please. This is something that we do, and there is something in this. The Bible says, at the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought. Means that there were many signs and wonders done at the hands of the apostles. But I want you now to stretch your hands in faith, believing. And I want you to begin, the rest of you, to prophesy into the lives of these people. Something's about to happen right now. God says in these last days, He's going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and you will begin to prophesy. So I want the rest of you, spiritual people, to begin to prophesy. Now these people in front of me, so many of you, so I won't be able to pray for you individually, but God is going to do it right now as you declare where you want God to intervene. Come on, you're going to be honest with God here, because He knows everything. The areas that you're struggling, which are strongholds, you're struggling with your health, you're struggling with your health. Sonia, can I just ask you to come right now? The Spirit of God, Sonia, right there in the yellow coat, please come. The Spirit of God is just speaking to me right now about you. Yeah, I want you to have faith in God right now. If you believe God for that area, I can't see the areas, but if you believe God, it's been years that the enemy has plundered you. But today, God says, as you believe, He has given you power to tie up the strong man. God says today, you can know a release in your situation. Yeah, I want you to just begin to speak to God and say, Lord, yeah, this area, Lord, I'm struggling right now with my marriage, my relationship, God. I'm struggling, God, with this addiction. I'm struggling with this stronghold. Lord, I'm giving it up. Lord, my business is struggling. Lord, I need an intervention because the enemy, the stronghold, has been upon my business, but I send in fire. I send the fire of the Holy Spirit. I send in the fire of the Holy Spirit into every life that stands before me. Somebody, come on, you begin to speak to God right now. You begin to speak to Him. Don't worry about the person next to you. In the name of Jesus, I break the spirit of addiction over every person right now in the name of Jesus. I bind the strong man. The areas of alcohol addiction, nicotine addiction, drug addiction, I bind the strong man right now in the name of Jesus. In your bodies, those that are suffering, in your health, I come against the strong man. Lord, this is where I'm passionate. This is where I'm passionate. I find the strong man right now in the name of Jesus. In the areas of your health, and I release wholeness. In the name of Jesus. Someone just cry out to God. Whatever it is, please, just cry out to Him right now. Cry out to Him right now. Your God, your deliverer. The strong man is about to be bound right now.
Hallelujah!
Say hallelujah! 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 angel, your prince, passed over as we were praying, as I was praying. I believe right now, God, you're passing over and you're saying, we are covered. We are covered. Somebody say, yeah, I'm covered, I'm covered. Come on, say it. I'm covered. I'm covered, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I seal every one of you, every miracle. I seal every work of God. I seal right now with the blood of Jesus. Somebody put your hands together.